Good evening. Before I dismiss the middle school parents, I need you to bring out your notebook and write this stuff down. On the screen is our church calendar for the first 6 months of this year. You can see there, January 13th, we're starting with the new members reception like we just announced. And that reception is not optional. Everybody that was baptized or restored or moved into our congregation last year, you need to be at that reception. Amen? We hope we don't have to force you to come and eat. And so that's going to be this Sunday. And then on the 19th, we're going to have our annual leaders meeting. All the deacons and our wives and all the family group leaders and their wives, that meeting is going to be going on. In February 2nd, we have an Atlanta Unity meeting that we all need to be praying for. Amen? And February 23rd, I'm really excited about this marriage 101 workshop for anybody that's been married for 10 years or less. I'm actually thinking of moving it to 12 years or less. It is going to change your life. It's stuff you should have learned before you said, I do. That's what we're going to be talking about. Amen? And Anton and Sharon Ivy, they served as elders in the Los Angeles church. They're now part of the North River congregation. They have a Christian counseling service going on right now. They're going to be coming and doing it for us. Okay? It's going to be at Harvest Community Church, February 23rd. And we're going to print out invites so that we can invite a lot of our friends. It's for everybody that has been married 10 years or less. Okay? Amen? So the rest of us, prime timers, people that have been married older, let's help babysit the kids of the young married so that they can attend that event. Amen? March 3rd, men's night out. Okay? March 8th, I'm sorry. Men's night out. And well, that night is a Friday night. We need all the sisters to take care of the kids. And we brothers are just going to go off and go do something. All right? It's going to be fun. All right? But you're not going to be left out. Yours is coming up on the 22nd. And then the brothers get to watch the kids. Okay? That's the idea. And so March 8th, we'll have men's night out. On March 17th, Jim Lenahan from the North River Congregation is going to be our guest speaker. On the 22nd is the women's night out. And so on that day, all the brothers, we take care of the kids so that the women can go off and have a great time. Amen? And then, obviously, March 29th to the 31st, that's the end of March, that Easter weekend is the Southeastern Evangelism Conference in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I get an update for our congregation of all the people that have registered. So far, we have 91 people, that includes kids, from our congregation that will be attending. And you need to register quickly because the price is going up in a couple of weeks. And so so please go ahead and register if you plan on attending. Or, you know, it's okay. If you want to pay the increased fee in a few weeks, that's fine too. But if ever you are, go ahead and register now. Next page. Oh, sorry. I got it. Let's see. April 7th, we'll have another new members reception. The idea is we're going to do it once every quarter. Could you let me turn this down a little bit? April 14th or the 21st, we're going to have our International Sunday. Okay, our annual International Sunday, where we bring in a brother who has been a missionary. And originally, we're trying to get Frank Kim. He's one of the elders now in Denver. But he couldn't make it. He sent me a text a couple of weeks ago saying he can't do it. His daughter's getting married 2 weeks later. And so he's got his hands full. And so I said, fine. He'll love to come back at some other point. And so I called the brother who leads the church in Austin, Texas. His name is Dave Hooper. He and I, we did the buses together in San Antonio. And so he's also going to get back to me by Monday. But he's very excited. He speaks fluent Russian. He was on the mission team that started the church in Moscow. And prayerfully, he's going to be our guest speaker for our International Sunday. Amen? That's going to be either April the 14th or the 21st, depending on when he can make it. All right? But right now, it looks like it's the 14th. That's what he told me. May 5th is our graduation Sunday. May 12th is Mother's Day. And you know what we do on that day? All right? The service is exactly an hour. okay, so that we can beat everybody to the restaurants. That's the idea. I don't want to be standing there waiting for 2 hours to eat. But we will do it on, that will be May 12th. And very soon, Andrea is going to be asking us to start getting our pictures taken all the months with their kids. So that we'll do our slideshow and everything like we always do. All right? And then on the May 19th is missions contribution. Amen? So please mark that down in your calendar. June 7th will be the women's night out. And then June 21st, the brothers will have their men's night out. Okay? So that's what we have on the calendar so far. Obviously, there will be stuff added to it. But that's what we have so far as a church. Okay, that's the first half of the year. Amen? And we're going to reprint this, and I believe in this Sunday's newsletter. And so that's what it looks like so far. Amen? So at this time, let me go ahead and dismiss all the middle school parents. You guys are in the back, in the fellowship hall all this month. You guys have a great time. So now we're going to talk about how Solomon did not listen. 1 Kings chapter 11. Our theme for 2013 is wholehearted devotion. And I started talking about this, I believe it was December 30th. Where David said to his son Solomon to acknowledge the God of his father and to serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. It says, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. David told his son Solomon, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. And that wasn't the first time actually that David had started talking to Solomon about being wholehearted in his devotion to God. He first brought it up. I give you the reference, but I'll give it to you again. In 1 Chronicles 22, it says, now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God, as he said he would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And then in verse 19, it says, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. So 1 Chronicles 28 wasn't the first time David brought this up to Solomon. He'd been talking about it. And then again, in 1 Chronicles 29, we find David praying for Solomon. And in verse 19, it says, and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Over and over, before David departed this world, he was really encouraging his son Solomon to be totally devoted to God. But like we're going to find out tonight, and I think we know already, Solomon did not listen. He didn't listen. He didn't get it. And as a result, he messed up his life. He messed up God's people. And the same is true for us as we begin the year 2013. Now, amen, this year's, like I said, theme is wholehearted devotion. That doesn't mean that next year we're going to be half-hearted. Okay? But the whole idea is everything we're going to be doing going forward as a church and individually, we got to put our whole heart into it. We got to be devoted to our marriages. We got to be devoted to our children. We got to be devoted to each other. We got to be devoted to the poor and the needy. We got to be devoted, obviously, to God first. But the whole idea is, as we do this stuff, we got to put all of our hearts into it. We can't do this half-heartedly. You know, the Falcons are playing on Sunday afternoon as we're having our reception. I bring that up because don't you think of missing that reception if you're meant to be there. There's something called a DVR. So record the game. The game is not going anywhere. But you see, they've been writing a lot of stuff, you know, in the papers and on the news the last several days, just how, you know, the Falcons always get to the playoffs and then they don't go any farther. You better believe that those guys are going to give it everything they've got this Sunday in light of all the trash talking that's been going on, so to speak. Because if they do not bring their A game on Sunday, guess what? They are going to lose. Seattle is a very tough team. As far as I'm concerned, their quarterback is the rookie of the year, in my opinion. But, you know, that's a different day, different discussion. But the point I'm making is, on Sunday, the Falcons have got to bring their A game or they're going to go home. And for those of you who don't know, they had the best record in the NFL this year. The road to the Superdome, the Super Bowl, is through the Georgia Dome this year. And so all they need to do is defend home field. And we'll be in New Orleans come February, whatever it is. Okay? And some of you are unbelievers. That's okay. Don't get me started. You live in Atlanta. You need to support the Falcons. Hold on. You are breathing Georgia air. You're making your living here. The least you can do is support the home team. It don't matter to me if you came from New York or somewhere else. This is Falcon country. Amen? But that's not the lesson tonight. I'm simply making the point. They got to bring their A game this Sunday or they will lose. The same thing is true for us as Christians. Every single time, every single day, you got to bring your whole heart. Whatever it is you're doing, you got to put everything you've got into it. If not, don't do it at all. That is the difference between success or failure most of the time. It's the amount of heart that we put into something. And so let's read in 1 Kings 11 about Solomon. It says, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not bring it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. And we'll stop there for now. We find out very quickly that David did not follow his father's advice. He didn't listen. I'm sorry, Solomon did not follow his father's advice. He didn't follow David's advice. The Bible says Solomon loved many foreign women. Isn't it amazing how the grass always looked green on the other side? You heard that expression? Where somehow we always think, oh yeah, you know, whatever's on the other side, whatever is foreign, whatever is different, somehow, you know, I can get involved in it and not get burnt. It doesn't work that way. It says Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. God has specifically told the Israelites not to intermarry with these guys. If you look in Deuteronomy from chapters 12 through 15, you'll find all those instructions there. God has specifically told the Israelites not to intermarry with these guys. And I bring that up as we start this off because, you know, when God tells us something, brothers and sisters, there's a very, very good reason for it. When God gives us certain instructions, he knows what he's talking about. But Solomon didn't listen. He got married to all these women. I've made this point before and I'll make it again. I don't know how you satisfy 1,000 women. I don't know how you do that. But that was what he did. He got married to all these people. As a matter of fact, a lot of these marriages, believe it or not, he did it to create political alliances. You know, let me marry this one so that, you know, I'll get along with this group of people over here. Let me marry this one so that, you know, I can get along with this kingdom and these people over here. And that's what he did. But you see, God had told the Israelites not to intermarry with these people. Okay? Who were the Moabites? They were the descendants of Lot. You know the story? When Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God, you know, toasted them, well done. And they fled for their lives, and obviously his wife was told not to look back, and she did. You know, Lot was able to escape with two of his daughters. And you know the story. If you haven't studied that, go read it. It's very fascinating. You know, the two girls basically said, you know what, hey, let's sleep with our daddy. They got him drunk, and then they slept with him so as to continue the family line. So one of them was the descendants of Moab. That's where Moab came from. And the other one was the Ammonites. They were descendants of Lot. You see that in Genesis, I'll give you the reference. Genesis 19, verse 37 and 38. Okay? But the Moabites believed in many gods. Remember that Israel had been serving a lot of gods in Egypt before they came out of captivity. And that's why when God brought them out and led them to Sinai, he said, you know, hey, guys, I'm the only God you're meant to serve. As a matter of fact, that was the first commandment, that you will have no other gods besides me. Do not be like the Egyptians. That was the idea. The truth is, nothing good can ever come from serving and following other gods. Absolutely nothing. Idolatry is never good. Now, today we don't have quote-unquote idols of wood and stone that we bow down to. We have our own idols in the 21st century. It's work, job, money, family, children, hobbies. They're all idols. If there's anything that's competing for our time and our devotion to God, be very, very, very careful, because that thing can become an idol very quickly. And that's what the Old Testament talks about over and over and over again. It's about idolatry. That's why they got into trouble. Remember, we're talking about God's children. We are not going to be any different. We're fighting the same battles. We are being tugged at
from different directions. There's so many things vying for our time and our energy. But it's up to us to be wholehearted in our devotion to God. It's a decision that we have to make over and over again, because Solomon's wives led him astray. Because what happens is, you know, he just thought, well, okay, maybe I can marry these women for political alliances and, you know. But guess what? Those women came and got married to him. Guess what? They brought their gods with them. They brought their gods with them. And in time, the Bible, like we just read in this passage, says, as Solomon grew older, his wives turned his heart away from his total devotion to God. And the same thing can happen to us if we're not very careful. You see, it's not just, okay, when we're young Christians. I believe the danger is even as we grow older in our walk with the Lord, that we've got to be very, very careful. Because you've heard me say this many, many times. Satan is willing to wait 5, 10, 15, 20 years before he decides to come after you. Because I believe that Satan is upset when we repent and get baptized and we say Jesus is Lord. I really believe he gets upset. But he has one goal in mind. And that is to make sure that by the time we leave this earth, we are no longer serving God. Because he also knows from Scripture that our punishment is going to be worse than those who never said Jesus is Lord in the first place. And yes, hell was created for him and his angels. That's what the Bible tells us in Matthew 24. But he's not going there by himself. He's trying to take as many people as he can with him. And that's why you and I have got to work out our salvation daily with fear and trembling. That it's not just, okay, I got a little bitterness over here. Or, you know, I got a little attitude over here. You better check on that thing. Because Satan will use it to take you out. Amen? As you and I are going on this journey, as we make our way towards heaven. And that's why it's so important that we're there for one another. We're helping each other. Because, yeah, we're going to fall. But you got a brother there, you got a sister there that can help. Hey, come on. I know you're tired. Come on, get up. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to keep walking until you get up. So that we can help one another. I don't know how you felt Sunday morning. That message was very convicting. And Doug was spot on. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit always works. And I called him, I spoke to him Saturday afternoon. And again, just making sure that he was here and if there was anything he needed. And I said, so bro, what are you talking about tomorrow? He just said, friendship. I said, okay. I didn't tell him what to talk about. I didn't tell him, oh, here's a need we have in our church. But that need is great. Where we're devoted to one another. Where we're true friends. Where we're there meeting each other's needs. That church is not a question of, okay, what's in it for me? You meet my needs. You take care of me. Here I am, feed me. I don't see that scripture in the Bible. If anything, I find, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Amen? That's what it's all about. You know, again, he preached on Sunday. What have you been thinking the last several days? In terms of, you know, who am I going to go after? Who are the brothers and sisters that I'm going to get close to and start building a discipling relationship? The kind of friendship that he was talking about. I can honestly tell you, I'm still standing today. I'm still here because of the brothers and sisters around me. You know, I think sometimes we think, oh yeah, he's the preacher. He always had his, you know, he's always on. I got my moments. I got my moments when I'm just tired. I don't feel like doing this anymore. And people are there to, you know, bro, let me help you out. Let me give some perspective. Come on, don't give up. Don't be down. Don't be discouraged. I don't stay there very long. I can't afford to. But I do have my moments. It's very helpful when there are people that are around you that you can call and let them know what's going on. I think the onus is on us to go get the help we need. Because I can't read minds. You cannot read minds either. Where you pick up the phone and call someone and say, you know, hey, this is what I'm going through. This is discouraging to me, or whatever it is you're going through. Very, very important. Amen? And that we're there to listen to each other and to help each other out. It is very, very crucial. Amen? We got three awesome elders in this church. And one of the things they keep, you know, they always bring up to me very often is that their phones are not ringing enough. That's why they're there, to help us out. They're not there to make your decisions for you. They're not there to teach you how to figure everything out. But they're there. We're here. Amen? But it's going to take all of us really deciding to be close, not only to God, but to each other as God's children. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. You better get used to seeing all these guys. If not, you are not going to enjoy being in heaven. That's not rocket science to figure out. If you don't like being around Christians now and enjoy what this is, what do you think we're going to be doing on the other side? There's not going to be any sin there. And so, you know, like one brother said many, many years ago, this is practicing for heaven. In a lot of ways. But we got to put our hearts into it. Our whole hearts. Where we're getting with each other. I'm not talking of once every 3 months. I'm talking about every other week. That we know how each other, how we're doing. All of a sudden, we've gotten very quiet. But we're going to be talking about this as we go forward. Because the truth is, right now, there's a horrible flu bug going around the entire country. You know, they showed a map of the entire country the other day. Really, California and Washington was kind of yellow. The whole country was just red. I mean, there's a flu. I mean, as we're speaking, a lot of people in our church are sick. And so please, if you feel like you're feeling something coming on, please don't come to church. Okay, you got my permission on that one. And I know you want to come, I know you want to see everybody, but guess what? When you come, you know, you spread it to a few other people. Okay? We love you, we know where you are. We'll bring you soup, we'll leave it at the door. Whatever it is you need. Okay, just don't come. Besides, you can listen to the message online, amen? So you're not missing anything. And when you feel better and you're better, then come on back to the fellowship. Amen? I don't want to get sick. Okay? I really don't want to get sick. But the point is, you know, when you start feeling sick, if you don't do anything about it, guess what? You're going to get worse. That's just the way it is. You know, I was talking to a brother last week. He wasn't feeling very well. You know, he spent a couple of days in bed. And then finally, he said, you know, I'm still feeling sick. As a matter of fact, I can't make it to church. And I text him back and I said, have you gone to the doctor? I said, have you gone to the doctor? And I think he told me, I'm walking on it. Something to that effect or something. But see, it's important when you get sick, you go to the doctor. Same thing is true spiritually. When you see something coming on, you got to address it very quickly. And don't get me wrong, you got to go to a doctor that can help you. Amen? It's very important. You know, we have a lot of young marrieds in the church. And you guys are awesome. Okay? I mean, we also have a lot of prime timers in the church. A lot of old geezers, like Doug said on Sunday. Okay, I'm just repeating what he said. So don't get upset with me. That was what he called you guys on Sunday. But the point is, we need you guys that are younger in your faith and in your marriages to be seeking input from the older ones. Believe me, they've experienced some stuff in life. They've gone through stuff in life. It's not by accident they've been married for 25, 30 years. All the stuff that you're grappling with in terms of how to raise kids, all of a sudden, you used to have two, now you got three. You know, that changes everything. Making those adjustments. Prayerfully, we're going to talk about some of that stuff on the February, whatever it is, February 23rd, I think, at the Marriage 101 workshop. Some people don't know how to make that adjustment. And you still have 24 hours in a day. But you see, there are a lot of people that have been through all this kind of stuff that can help you. You've got to ask those kind of questions. You've got to seek their input. The same thing for those of us that are single, that are wanting to get married. I'm glad that you guys are close to each other and you hang out and all that stuff. That's wonderful. You know, people often ask me, what's the secret to getting married? I'm glad you asked. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. That is the secret to finding the brother or the sister of your dreams. You seek God first, and God will give you everything else. And I think too many times for some of us, we're so focused on, where's that special person? Where's that special person? You're doing it backwards. You know, I talk to some of you guys, and I'm like, okay, so what's going on? So who are you talking to? And they're naming other single people. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to other single people. You need to be talking to a married man. You need to be talking to a married woman to help you sort through all that stuff. Because, again, I'm not trying to be mean. I mean this sincerely. If these single guys knew what they were doing, they'll be married also. The blind cannot lead the blind. That's even in the Bible. I'm not saying don't seek input from each other, but you need to be seeking input about marriage and about your future partner for married people. It's not rocket science. And I think those of us that are married, we need to adopt our single brothers and sisters. Can I get an amen? I'm talking about where, okay, we come to church, and this particular day, you as a couple, you say, you know what, hey, brother, come over for lunch. Sister, come on over. The same thing with the campus students. Amen? And we can provide that support. I remember as a young Christian, as a college student, being invited over to the homes of married people. I can honestly tell you, those lunches, and it wasn't every week, those lunches and those times kept me faithful. Because I was able to ask questions. I was able to tell them what was going on. And how they dealt with different things when they were at that stage in their Christian life. It's all about being wholehearted devotion to one another. Church, we were very good at this. And that's what we got to get back to. And we're not going to apologize for it. Amen? We're not going to apologize for it. I mean, we've been there, done that. In terms of, well, just leave me alone. I'm just going to live my life. A lot of those people are no longer around. Some of those people are divorced today. It's terrible. We need one another. But we got to make sure, like Solomon, we can't let this quote-unquote foreign stuff come in and mess us our walk with the Lord. We can't do it. Amen? Very, very important. The Ammonites. Again, these guys also, descendant of Lot, they antagonized the Israelites, actually throughout the Old Testament, and during the Exodus, they would not allow the Israelites to pass through their land. They were not nice people. You can read about this stuff in 1 Kings 14 and 2 Chronicles 12. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings 14 and 2 Chronicles 12, verse 13, Naamah, there's a woman actually named. She's the only wife of Solomon mentioned by name in the Jewish Tanakh. She was an Ammonite. And she later became the mother of Solomon's successor, Rehoboam. But the point is, these people were bad. They were bad news. Okay? I don't know if you can see this map. This is the kingdom of Israel right here. Okay? And this is the kingdom of Ammon. This is the kingdom of Moab. This is the kingdom of Edom down here in the yellow. Okay? This is just some of these people where, you know, Solomon went and got wives from. And this is where he was from.
Okay? Jerusalem is right there. But these people were bad people.
If you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. Solomon did, and it messed him up. Look in Joshua 24. A passage we're very familiar with. Again, way before all these guys were even born, David and Solomon and all these other kings. In Joshua 24, the guy who succeeded Moses, he's about to die. It's always amazing how, I find it very fascinating, when people are dying, and they're talking to the living, and they're talking to their kids or their descendants, guess what they're always talking about? They're always advising the people they're about to leave behind to stay close to God. They're never talking about, oh yeah, I want you to spend more time at work. I want you to go and make more money. I want you to go ahead and do... No. It's always about those who are spiritual. It's always about talking to their loved ones about their walk with the Lord. And Joshua did the same thing in Joshua 24 in verse 14. Again, this is just before he died. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. The whole same idea, wholehearted devotion. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen. This is awesome, man. Where, over and over again, when great spiritual men are about to depart from this world, they're telling us the same message. Stay close to God. Be devoted to God. Seek out this God. He said, well, I'm a Christian. I've sought God out and I know him. Yeah, but there is so much more to know. I mean, God is so awesome. God is so huge. I don't know about you. Every day when I open my Bible, I see something new. Especially passages that I thought, you know, I've studied stuff out so many times. It's like, where did that come from? You mean that word has always been in there? And then you go look it up and you see deeper meaning. It's always amazing to me. And it's going to take us our entire lives to continue to know God, to continue to walk with him. And then obviously one day we get to see him face to face. Man, I want to jump right now just thinking about it. It's going to blow your mind. I know the Bible says it's spirit and all. And yes, we're going to have a different kind of body on the other side. But I can't wait to put my arms around him and lay a big kiss on him. Mwah! I've been waiting my whole life to do this. It's going to be awesome. That's always been the admonition. That's always been the message. And that's what you see in some of these guys throughout their kingship. Josiah, when he became king at a very young age. You know the story. If you don't, again, go study it out. And they found the book of the law. He wept. He fasted, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to repent, and he called the entire country to repent. And he started tearing down all these altars built to foreign gods. You think that was easy? It wasn't. But he showed by his life and by his example that he was a true man of God. That our hearts has got to be totally sold out to God and to God only. We got to rid our lives of our own idols, or we're going to end up like Solomon. That one you can mark it down and take it to the bank. And I don't know what the idols are for you, It may be your job. It may be your spouse. It may be a relationship. It may be chasing a certain career path or wanting to get to a certain position. I don't know. But when you seek God first, when you put God in his rightful place, he promises to take care of all those other things. It's a promise. My Bible tells me God never lies. And he's never lied. He cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. That's the way the Bible says it. And so why don't you give God a try? Really. Just really wholehearted devotion. Not, okay, I got one foot in the church. I got the other one out here in the world. And yeah, I'm there. I give my contribution. I'm always there at midweek. I'm always there on Sunday. The question is, the rest of you, what are you doing? The 24 hours we have each day, how are we spending it? Remember that one day we're going to give an account to him for all the resources he's given to us. And we are not owners, we're simply managers. We're custodians. We're going to have to give an account for all the stuff. And you don't know when you're going to leave. I don't know when I'm going to leave this earth. I don't. And you don't know your time. All we know is your time is coming. All I know is my time is coming. One day I'm going to leave my house and I will not make it back there that night. One day you're not going to wake up on this side of eternity. That's a guarantee. But I pray that it will be said of us that when our time does come, that we would have served God with wholehearted devotion. Let's not play with these guys. You know, we can joke around and, you know, whatever. Let's not mess with the Almighty. I know my limits. I do not mess with Jehovah. Oh, the Bible says he's a consuming fire. Let's not mess with the Almighty. Amen. Look in Psalm 34. This is very encouraging. Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, let's begin in verse 1. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. This is David speaking. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Can I get an amen? Amen. Ooh, this is encouraging. You can have a quiet time on just these few verses for a whole day. And just meditate on the words and let it sink in. You see, for David, God was his refuge. God was his everything. He says, yeah, we may be in trouble, we may have or whatever, but when we put our total trust in God, he will take care of us. In verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. These beings are bad. They're awesome. First of all, they're so awesome, you and I cannot even see them. But we got them around us. If you're walking with the Lord, The Bible says greater is the power that is with us than the power that's out there. And I think too many times, even as we go along our days, we forget not only the power that we have within us, God's Holy Spirit, but the power that's around us. And God says if we fear Him, if we're seeking Him, that we're not going to lack any good thing. That's awesome. All these different things that you and I are trying to acquire, all we need to do is acquire God, and God will give us all those extra things. That's the way it's meant to work. Amen? And that's exciting. That we don't have to be afraid of anything. Because God loves us. God cares about us. God can see our devotion. God knows our hearts. He knows where our hearts are at. And as a result of that, He'll keep batting for us every single day. And in every single situation. You know, I hear brothers say this, they're laying off people at work, and everybody's nervous, you know, because quote-unquote business is not great or whatever. But the fellow workers that are kind of anxious about everything that's going on, like, why are you so calm? How come you're not worried like the rest of us? And the Christian will simply go, you know what? My God's in control. So if they lay me off, they lay me off. If they lay me off, God wants to give me something better. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? But you see, a lot of people don't have an anchor. Their job is their anchor. Their family is their anchor. What happens when God takes that anchor away? They got nothing. But we have God as our anchor. And we gotta make sure that we're listening to what God is saying to us. When He says we need to seek Him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. I mean, we see this in the New Testament. That's the greatest commandment. Is to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Same thing. Where our hearts are totally into God. It's the greatest commandment, and it will continue to be the greatest commandment. Amen? And so, as we go forward this year, if we do nothing else, we got to get this one right. Going forward. Amen? We serve an incredible God. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. I mean, all you need to sit down and do, even tonight before you go to bed, is just think about all the different things He's done for you this in the last 24 hours. It's an amazing thing. Just the past 24 hours. Oh, say, Richard, I got some issues. I got some problems. You're still here. You're not in the ICU. You're still here. Because God is with you. Because God loves you. Because God cares about you. You say, I'm lacking this, and I'm lacking this, and I'm lacking this, and I'm lacking this. Okay. He owns everything. In His time, He will meet you at every point of your need. That's not according to my timetable or yours. It's according to His. Amen? And again, that's where our trust for God comes in. He created us in His own image. He can run our lives 100 times better than we can. And if we're wise men and women, we would listen to Him. We would seek to draw close to Him on a daily basis. Amen? That's what it's all about. And if we did that, I promise you, your life will be very different. Your marriage will be very different. Your parenting, everything. It will be very, very different. Those who follow Him lack no good thing. The blessings come when we get rid of all the idols in our lives and we put God in His rightful place. That's the way it has always worked. And that is the way it still works today. And so, church, I want to encourage us as we go into 2013. It's easy to be, oh yeah, I need to be wholehearted, need to be devoted to God right now. It's only January 10th. How are you going to be when April rolls around, and May rolls around, and June rolls around, and September and October? Is all your heart still going to be in it? That's the issue. I don't like long distance races. I really don't. They're very hard. Some people love jogging. Bro, I ran 6 miles. It's like, man, I don't know how you do that. I just don't. I can do the sprint. But what I found is, even when you go for like a 3 mile walk, the beginning is usually very easy. You know, you're just going, man. You're just going. You're just going. You're just going. You're just going. Then at some point, your muscles start talking to you. Okay? Maybe it's just me. And as you're going through, you're gonna have to make certain decisions. One part of your body is saying, stop. You can do this tomorrow. Okay? You've done good. You've gone about 2 miles, although your goal was 6. And I have to be honest with you, there have been times that I look at it and say, yeah, I'm tired. I've walked for 3 miles. I'm getting back in the car, man. I'm going home. But see, we got to persevere. Because there's something about when you push through at the very end, you go, yes, I did it. And then you find the next time you do it, it gets a little bit easier. It gets a little bit easier. It gets a little bit easier. The same thing spiritually, brothers and sisters. And the cool thing is, we have each other to help each other out. That, you know, when we're down and discouraged or something comes up and we feel like slowing down or giving up, it's like, come on, man. Let's go. Let's go. I shared it before, but I'll share it again in closing. And I forget, in 1994, where Mike Tolliver came up with this brilliant idea that all of us African, the leaders leading churches in Africa, let's go climb Mount Kilimanjaro together. And everybody was excited about it, except me. Because I thought to myself, guys, I'm from Africa. This mountain has always been here my whole life. We enjoy looking at it. What's all this stuff? We're going to go climb this stuff. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be very bonding. I said, yeah, I can understand the bonding part. Now, we can bond very here, right here on this sea level. Why do we have to go do this? Oh, come on, Rich. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. And we all started training. And I kid you not, it's 3 days up, 2 days down. On day one going up, both my knees gave out. And one of the brothers had to tie them very tightly for me just to be able to make it. And there were so many times during the climb, I just wanted to give up. And here I am. I got asthma. And if you develop altitude sickness, you have to come down immediately. We're driving on the way to, you know, to the park and climbing, and the guy giving us instructions. Oh yeah, by the way, somebody died last week. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Why would you bring that up now? But I mean, we were almost there at the point. It's like, can we turn around? Because I'm not going up. But anyway, the point is, there were so many times during that climb that I felt like giving up. On the final climb, it's like climbing stairs for 6 hours non-stop. They wake you up at 12 midnight, so that by 6 a.m. you'll be at the summit. And halfway through, you know, the sun comes up. It was the most incredible sight I've ever seen in my life. But the thing that kept me going was the other brothers and sisters encouraging me. I was the last one up. I didn't care. But I made it to the top. I had made so much noise before I left the church. And I thought, you know, how am I going to come back down and tell them I didn't make it? So there's a part of my pride that kept me going also. I got to be honest. Because I knew if I came back down and I told the guys I didn't make it, man, I could already see some of the brothers, they would never allow me to leave it down. But I made it because people were there encouraging me. I was sick in bed for a week afterwards. It was the hardest thing I've ever done physically in my life up to that point. And so we go, hey, let's do it again. We can take our key. I said, no way. I will drive you to the base of the mountain. I'll come back in 5 days to come pick you up. I'm not doing it again. There's some things you do in life once. I've done it and I'm done with it. But the point is, I had a lot of people there helping me out. And that's how I made it. And as you and I make our way towards heaven, we have a lot of brothers and sisters that's going to help us out. Amen? All we need to do is let people know what's really going on. Let other people know where it's really hurting. And I promise you, they'll be there to help you. Call me. Call the elders. Call your family group leader. That's why we're here. Amen?